Last week, you know, we have been working with a second deep listening practice with the intention to expand, you know, our capacity for intimacy with the modern human world and the biosphere of our planet, and in a way with ourselves because of that, because we know we can't really determine, you know, where the body ends and where the biosphere begins, because it's a constant process of give and take. So there is no real boundaries to be found. And these practices, you know, are on the one hand ancient shamanic technologies, and on the other hand, they seem to emerge now more and more into the mainstream spiritual practices here, you know, in the West, because these practices, you know, tap into the self-regulating intelligence of the planetary body, which wants to heal itself. Just like, you know, if we are cutting a finger, it's just going to heal itself if we, you know, keep it clean and leave it alone. And I think this is the same power, you know, which the planet also has, because it's all, you know, one life force expressing itself. And because, you know, of the climate crisis pressure, more and more of us, you know, Homo sapiens, start to wake up and connect with the information, you know, which comes through. Simply by the fact, you know, that our bodies and the body of the planet are made of the same substances, and we can actually use our bodies as a plug-in into the planet, so we can start, you know, listening and attending to the self-regulating intelligence and what that intelligence wants from us. Some, you know, call it, we are the immune system of the planet. And you know, we are trying in this Wednesday sessions, trying to train ourselves to become more sensitive and to become more attentive to what is being asked from us. And part of that is also, you know, all of the difficulties, all of the unfinished business, which is coming up, you know, as this new information becomes available. It's kind of a detoxing, you know, and a lot of darkness also becomes apparent, you know, as we are engaging in this way. And, you know, rather than pathologizing those difficulties, what we are trying to do is to increase our intimacy and precision with how we relate to our experience. You know, becoming more precise, becoming more interested, and adding awareness, adding mindfulness, rather than trying to get rid of something. So when dark experiences or darkness, you know, arrives in our lives, we can also use that as a wake-up bell, that something new, you know, wants to be born in us and through us. But usually, you know, we are afraid of change. And it's just like a very quote unquote normal human reaction, you know, change. We are afraid of it because we don't know, it might it be worse than what it is now. And then we usually, you know, kind of shut down or numb or defend against the change. And then, you know, that brings even more suffering to us. And this is one of the big, you know, contributions of the Buddha, I think, you know, to make anicca or impermanence change one of the main characteristics, to be investigated in the meditation. Because, instead of being stuck in fear, we want to develop trust and resilience to make ourselves available to that darkness and to the transformation, which is the fruit of having a openness towards that darkness. Much like, a mother's womb, which is actually enabling new growth to happen first, like in a very protective environment, until, the baby is strong enough to be delivered out of that darkness. And the same, is with our own insights. First, we need to be able to be okay with the darkness long enough and precisely enough so that when the time is right, it opens up. So rather than, kind of bracing ourselves against it, it's much more about what is this darkness trying to tell me? And not in a kind of a pushy way, trying to press for answers, but by adding something to it, by adding awareness, mindfulness, precision, attentiveness, humility. And just, taking one breath at a time, one step at a time. And through that, becoming more and more intimate with that darkness. And planting, our questions into the soil of our practice. And, really trusting that the darkness is supporting and nourishing that which is growing in us. If we relate to it in a way so that it can nourish us. If we, put up a wall, we're just making a lot more pressure and contraction. But if we can soften, do it, relax to it, then that darkness can nourish and protect us as long as we need it. And, yesterday, not yesterday, but last week, I was speaking about, again, about the four establishments of mindfulness, how they can really help us to get a handle on the darkness one breath at a time. And today I brought a quote with me from the Anguttara Nikaya, number 1095. And it goes like this: whosoever is not lost in the world does so by removing the five hindrances, firmly establishing the mind in the four establishments of mindfulness, and cultivating the seven factors of awakening. So this is a, very concise quote from the suttas, and it speaks about the key aspects and the distinctive features common to the awakening of all the Buddhas, past, present, and future. There's in the scriptures, Theravada scripture speaks about, 28 Buddhas which have been, coming to these worlds, and they all had those key aspects. They all spoke about the hindrances which hinder the mind from knowing what is good and what is leading towards more and more ignorance. Know the difference by establishing the mind in those four establishments of mindfulness and cultivating the seven factors of awakening. And then at the same time, also respecting that which stays hidden. Because sometimes, we are not ready for more. And, being okay with that. See it more as a protection. And, seeing the resistance not as a block, but softening towards the resistance we can sense in ourselves. And through that softening, slowly digesting it and integrating it. And these four establishments of mindfulness, they can really help us, to have a little bit of a framework how we are going to approach this tangle, this darkness, where we are not quite sure what's going on. And the first establishment is, being aware, mindful of the body. We're doing that every time, in our meetings. Second one is vedana or feeling tone in terms of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Third one is mind states, mind with greed, mind with aversion, or mind with delusion. And the fourth one is principles of experience, either the hindrances or the awakening factors, and seeing what the mind throws up in terms of emotional and thought patterns. So, using those four establishments of mindfulness as a map, so we don't feel so completely lost. In particular, if we're feeling challenged by dark experiences, we usually, want to be already somewhere else. And we get very hypnotized with arriving in the future, in some kind of a imagined future. And, if we can't become aware of that, really investigating and seeing this is actually a defense mechanism or a kind of a painkiller, and at least noticing it, and trying to see that for what it is. It's a reactivity which has probably, been happening, for a very long time, and it shows us some of our strategies, how we try to extract ourselves from difficult experiences. And just softening to all of that. And slowly but surely, walking with all of that and walking with all of the questions we have and becoming the answer, becoming the remedy by virtue of allowing that darkness to work on us, to be the womb, for our transformation. So, that was a little introduction, and now please, let's find a posture we can sustain for about 40 minutes for a guided meditation again. Allowing the breath to take you into the body. Taking a screenshot, how you arrive here today. The body, is there some stress you can sense? Feeling down, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. State of mind. And that which is aware of what's happening. And you're allowing everything to just be what it is. And sensing another gravity which gently pulls us towards the earth underneath where we are sitting. And with the out-breath, sending down some roots into the rich darkness of the soil, which is producing, so much food and plant life, which produces oxygen. That soil is incredibly rich. And it's kept fluffy and aerated by many, many beings who live in the soil, one of them the earthworms. And the soil, consists of many beings who have lived and passed away. Plant beings and animals, human beings, mineral beings, it's incredibly rich and full of potential. And then sending down the roots. And breathing up that vast richness and stability, which enables life to be what it is on this planet. Oxygen, is coming from plant life. Plant life grows in the soil. Just reflecting on how much these bodies and this planet are one process. These bodies are part of the planet, emerging out of it, and when the time comes, going back into it. That's the first establishment of mindfulness, becoming really aware of that non-separation. As we are attending, to our bodies in this way, The mind might sometimes wander off, you know, into thinking about something else. And then, if it's just for a short moment, just bringing the mind back to the body and the planet. But if it's for a longer interruption, it's good to ask, you know, what was it which took the mind away? What was that feeling tone? Pleasant, probably related to greed, you know, wanting something different from what's happening right now. Or if it's unpleasant, probably related to aversion. Two ways, you know, of going about wanting to have a different experience. Just aimlessly and wandering around delusion. So just recognizing that, you know, the power of Vedana, feeling tone. Everything, you know, happens under the influence of that, those three Vedana feeling tones, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. And breathing up the stability and the stillness and vastness of the earth. Our planetary body. You know, which is asking us to pay attention. Because we are part of it, you know, that self-regulating intelligence has the capacity to reach us. Because we are an integral part of that planetary body. And the time has come, you know, that more and more of us starting to tune in, starting to attune, because we feel the calling, we sense that calling. You know, that's the, I think that's the result of you know, pressure of the climate crisis, which is sensed and felt by more and more people. And I think, you know, everybody who comes here to these meetings, you all feel drawn to come here because of that, even it mightn't be conscious yet. You know, I sometimes call that the urge to evolve, which is an expression of that intelligence. So it's an intuitive knowing, which, you know, I'm trying to put into some kind of words here on these meetings, from what I learn from others and also what I experience myself. And as we are, sending down those roots and feel more and more connected to the vastness of the planetary presence, the mind starts to settle down, feels grounded in the true sense of the word. And opens up, and opening up by not holding on to anything. There's a subtle sense of contentment or maybe even joy. Which is the result of, this temporary liberation of the mind. A mind which doesn't cling to anything. A wholesome joy, which is part of the seven factors of awakening. It's number four. It's a necessary prerequisite for the mind to open and settle so that it can actually observe and see clearly. The joy is a tool for, progressing on the path. It's a joy, which isn't dependent on sense pleasures, but a joy which is the result of letting go of attachment. So really being fully here and, no longer hypnotized by the future, but just being with what is and having that intimacy with the simplicity of our direct experience. And then, noticing when the mind is settled like this, it just naturally opens up and becomes boundless. And we can, listen into that boundlessness, spaciousness of the mind. Which doesn't end, at the walls of the room we are sitting in. And just noticing, how much the capacity, for opening up the mind in this way depends on the grounding, on, being with the darkness, grounding and really intimately relating to that results in some kind of opening when the time has come. And noticing, that the darkness and the light are belonging together. Opening to darkness brings in the light. Opening to darkness brings in the light. Because the darkness is filled to the brim with information. Like the data flow, we can add awareness or mindfulness to. Through our bodies by sensing and allowing that information in order to become conscious. And by changing the way we embody living on the planet. And trusting that this darkness is filled to the brim. And what is needed is to add awareness, to add mindfulness to this fullness. Rather than using it as a material storehouse, you know, to extract stuff from it, starting to recognizing the regenerative intelligence of this process we call planet Earth. Which is, you know, doing its job since almost 5 billion years. Always finding a way, you know, to continue with life. And you know, just now recently, our own species, which is part of that process, is becoming aware that we actually have the capacity to really have an influence on how this is going here. And if we tune in with more softness and interest that we can actually adjust and be supportive of healing. At the same time, it will be of benefit for our own species also. On many levels. It all, you know, really rests on the willingness to relate to the darkness of that which is hidden, you know, from plain view. But we can start to develop a relationship with it. Opening to darkness brings in the light. And just, you know, sensing how that, you know, lands in your body. You are allowing that thought, opening to darkness, brings in the light. And also noticing if there's any, remaining resistance to that. And any other kind of strategies, wanting to get away from that. Just allowing that to be part of what is known. And allowing that, the womb of the darkness nourishing and supporting new growth. And even if it's painful, letting the darkness show us. The way. We'll shine a light on the next steps. It's like a revelation. The word apocalypse comes from the Greek word to reveal, to disclose. So we need practices which help us with dealing with the difficult feelings, the terror, the fear of this process of revelation, which is underway. As we are starting to recognize that we can no longer follow the same models of organizing ourselves in the way of, capitalist consumerism, for example. It cannot be supported by the earth. And the darkness, which surrounds this, it's not so easy to figure that all out, but we can be with the darkness as long as it is here. That's what we can work with, and we can relate to that and allow us, to have the womb of transformation by accepting it to be that way and softening to that and relating to it, not turning away from it. And you're connecting with that urge to evolve, the yearning to be part of the flow of life. As long as we are here, and trusting that this will teach us what is needed. And in this way, you're now becoming good ancestors. Cultivating responsibility and ability to respond. Which isn't, you know, coming from the intellect or from figuring it out, but it comes from opening to that darkness and the maturation, which comes from not resisting it. A healing field, which we can hold together in a group like this. Where we are now slowly starting to embody that. And that's a real asset, to have that support, to be able to attend. Attend that emergence. So where that which, where the unmanifest and the earth body, meet in our bodies. The fullness of emptiness or spirit, or however you want to call it. And the body of the planet meet in our bodies. Because we have these earth bodies, but we also have this capacity for awareness. So we are part of. What is happening here on this planet? And we can cultivate our ability to respond together. You know, by really bowing down to the fact that change is what is happening. And it's, you know, one of the three characteristics of life. The core insights in the teachings of the Buddha. And I'm now slowly we're coming to the end of the session. Everything which has a beginning has a middle and an end, and that's that insight into impermanence. Which is so central to the Buddha's teaching. The end of a breath, the end of a meditation session, the end of a worldview, the end of a cultural narrative. We have a tendency to be fascinated by beginnings and not really paying much attention to endings. And this is why change is one of the core insights the Buddha is instructing us to pay attention to. And I can speak to that more next time.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.